B-Pod Studios.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Tre Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Tucker and Rich.
Oh, Fred, much.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are Toucher and Rich. We will talk to Will Brinson about the NFL and its goings-on in just a moment. But I will tell you, Will Brinson is a senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. He also hosts the Daily Pick 6 podcast. He will join us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Just let me know when he is available. All right, Mr. Brinson, hello.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Good morning. Happy day X of your quarantine. I don't want to judge people that may have been quarantined longer than others by pointing out how long I personally have been, saving the world by quarantining myself.
How long have you been quarantining yourself? You have not left the house?
No, it's like 48 hours or something like that. I'm just kidding. No, I think it's like day 7 or 8 of heavy social distancing and, a lot of family time. We're currently in negotiations on how many minutes of academics need to be completed for devices to be unleashed on the house.
That's a very difficult and easy to give up on plan.
This kid might as well be like arguing in front of the Supreme Court. Not just caving and all right, fine, here, take it.
Yeah, there's a certain point in the day where you just like go play Fortnite. Go and ride bikes. I don't care what you do. But
bikes, please. I wish. It's rainy and there's 40 pounds of pollen on the floor here.
Oh, really?
Oh, man.
At least my son can go and there's two kids he can ride bikes with, but I'm sure that will get me in trouble with some people. All right. Mr. Brinson, we haven't talked to you in a little bit. Give me your opinion as Bill O'Brien as a general manager.
Yeah, a lot has happened in the world of football since the last time we talked. I think Bill O'Brien is an A-minus head coach and an F-minus general manager. What is he doing? Like, I don't understand how. I mean, I'm trying to look at his trade, the DeAndre Hopkins trade, and I know that maybe some health issues. I don't know. I don't know how you could like feasibly defend this. And I'm just not sure. I'm trying to think of like the way that this plays out where people are like, well, Bill O'Brien got his man again. And he looks like a genius for this. I mean, the Texans feel to me like they're doing a little bit like what the Rams did, where they went all in on a quarterback with a rookie contract. And, I buy into Deshaun Watson and not in the way that people believe in Jared Goff. And they're just trading away all their first round picks, and they're just they're giving away their picks and they're giving away their top tier talent. I don't understand how you can trade DeAndre Hopkins because he wants more money. He's the best receiver in football. If you're going to trade DeAndre Hopkins, you need to get a first round pick in return, not a second round pick and David Johnson at David Johnson's full salary.
David Johnson would be something that you would take in order to get more, right? If that makes any sense.
Our thinking, the guys on our podcast and then sort of the collective media thinking was, okay, with David Johnson's contract, the Cardinals are hosed here. If they want to trade David Johnson, they're going to have to do one of two things. Either A, pay a ton of his salary, or B, send David Johnson and a pick. Like, here's David Johnson, the second-round pick. Please take his salary. Here's David Johnson, the second-round pick. We'll take DeAndre Hopkins back.
And as a result of all of this, we were talking earlier about who the Patriots quarterback not only is going to be this year, but next year. And apparently, odds are in Vegas that Deshaun Watson will find his way to New England next season. Or the season afterwards. They can always franchise him, but in the end, apparently that's the way Vegas is leaning.
I think maybe Vegas is confused, or they're like, there's only like one or two guys left there. The only guy who's allowed to be at the book is not the. I don't know. That's a crazy. Like, I will say this. My pal Mark Sessler of NFL Media, who they do the Around the NFL podcast every day, it's really good. He has this paint pony. Have you guys heard about the paint pony theory? That Bill Belichick has like secretly infiltrated 60% of the NFL through assistant coaches who he sent out elsewhere. He's like Matt Patricia isn't working for the Lions. He's still working for Bill Belichick, and it's actively destroying Detroit's franchise. Like Bill O'Brien not working for the Texans, actively working for Bill Belichick, and secretly destroying the Texans franchise. And if you sell somebody on that, like it kind of pans out. You know, Brian Flores is sort of ruining things right now because he's actually seems to know what he's doing in Miami. But like O'Brien has made the playoffs a ton. You know, since he's been there, they've signed Brock Osweiler to a crazy deal. They traded DeAndre Hopkins. They've given away all their first round picks. Like if he left right now and went back to New England to be the assistant head coach or Bill Belichick retires and he takes over in New England, Houston would be decimated for the long haul. They don't have a quarterback under contract. They just traded their second best player. J.J. Watt is older, and they don't have any first-round picks. Like, they're going to be bad for a few years. So, sure, I'll believe that he'll trade Deshaun Watson in a first-round pick for Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham. Who says no?
He'll be a free agent, a restricted free agent.
All right, what do you make of you mentioned it, Matt Patricia. What do you make of Miami and Detroit kind of hoarding? I'm at home, Will. I'm broadcasting from home. What do you make of them?
I'm not sure why that would. You're like I said whoring instead of hoarding. Oh, sorry, I'm at home. What is that? Not sure that's an excuse, but I'll run with it.
I don't know. I've had a bottle of tequila. All right, so. What do you make of them hoarding expatriates?
Yeah, I mean, it feels Bill O'Brien maybe hasn't done the same thing as aggressively. I did say this a bunch leading up there. Like, I thought Kyle Van Noy and guys like that would have a much better free agent market. I think it's been a big boon for former Patriots players. Like guys like a Landon Roberts probably doesn't have a huge free agent market in a vacuum, but because there are all these expatriate guys. It does work out well for him. I think the problem here, though, is that if you're going to overpay in free agency for a former Patriots player, you are literally doing the exact opposite of what Bill Belichick would do. And so I don't understand how you come from Bill Belichick's coaching tree and you're like, you know what we need to do is overpay for guys, for non-name value guys in free agency that used to be on the Patriots. It's like, that's what, you're overpaying for the guy, you're paying the price that Bill Belichick doesn't want to pay. You're doing the economics wrong because you're spending all the money on the guys that Bill Belichick is saying don't spend on because now they've hit free agency. So I get it. You know, you have a ton of money to spend. You're trying to get guys you're familiar with. You're trying to get guys who can bring the Patriot way to whatever city you're in. You're trying to build locker room culture, especially in Miami. I don't really have a clue what the hell they're doing in Detroit. It's a very bizarre offseason.
Yeah, apparently they all hate him. I mean, apparently they all hate Patricia, according to Darius Slay. I mean, I guess he's not the most amicable guy.
Well, that's again, like, I'm so confused how this routinely happens in the NFL. These guys who work for Bill Belichick and are like highly valued assistants and guys who become coaches in their own spots. What ends up happening is Matt Patricia, according to what Darius Slay told ESPN's Michael Rothstein, I believe, Matt Patricia puts him up on the big screen and is like ripping him in front of the whole team. And sat him down and told him when he went to a cornerback, he went to a facility and trained with a bunch of other elite cornerbacks like Patrick Peterson, Richard Sherman, et cetera. He's like, you're not elite. But, okay, I get it. You're trying to replicate what Bill Belichick did, but you don't have the skins on the wall, dude.
Right.
You can't be blasting your locker room leader. You don't have Tom Brady there who's willing to, sort of be the example of the guy who will get blasted in front of the whole team despite being the best player and go along with it. You know, you can't do that to Darius Slay if he's not on board with the program and you don't have the skins on the wall to back it up. So
and what's funny is Darius Slay might have been their best player. I mean, was their best player. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. And if he doesn't take to it, I mean, what good does that do you?
So, exactly. And then your message is, hey, you might be a great football player, but if you're not on board with this, we're going to ship you out of town. And it's not even, like, the worst part is that not even is that a bad message, but Darius Slay has spent the past, I think, like, 6 weeks just tweeting, when are they going to trade me? When are they going to trade me? Hurry up and trade me. Told them to trade me. And then they trade him. And they send him to, like, I mean, they send him to a good landing spot in Philadelphia. Like, I don't think that's the message you want to send. Like, oh, you're an unhappy elite player at our team. Just, you know, complain and we'll ship you out of town to a good spot. And like that's not the message you want to send. And so I think that these guys who are trying to create new Patriot programs, and Tennessee may be the exception for whatever reason, Mike Vrabel's got the buy-in here. You know, it just feels like those two spots, at least Detroit right now, people are not buying in and it's not working out well. And both Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, I think, are sort of with their backs up against the wall. Flores has got time. I mean, if they stink next year, they stink. You know, the expectations probably get a little out of hand for Miami. But
they played well. They played well, especially the last month when the season was long gone. I think Flores has earned himself at least a couple more years after
this. Well, at least the fans in Detroit like Patricia.
Yeah, that's right.
So. I mean, how bad, like, Matt Patricia can't match Jim Caldwell. Like, you can't even match, like, you just gotta be a little bit better than Jim Caldwell. That's all you gotta do. It's Jim Caldwell.
You got Stafford. I know he was hurt, but you had Stafford for a year and you couldn't go 9-7. That's a little embarrassing.
Right.
And especially in that, that division's not exactly world class anymore. Let's talk about Brady a little bit. Your expectations for Tampa this year.
I could be dead wrong about this. It's not an easy division. The Panthers are going to be absolute dog poo this year. I mean, they're going to be rough. I think they'll probably win two or three games. Atlanta, unless Matt Rhule pulls, you know, like I think they could be like Miami last year. Atlanta should bounce back, but I mean, it's a team that, you know, was about to fire its coach and GM at the bye last year. You know, they buying into this, like, you go 6-2 after the bye, and you're like, well, we fixed it all. It's like, I don't know about that. Drew Brees has certainly shown signs of aging, and I think expecting 13 wins from the Saints just blindly is a bit much. I think Tom Brady can go in there and win the division and you know, be on a team with Bruce Arians, who, you know, came back from retirement, but, you know, I think last year sort of proved some people wrong with how, you know, how into the situation he was. I think there were people who questioned whether or not Bruce Arians was going to be enthusiastic coming out of retirement. He was. He coached his tail off. He's a good coach. Todd Bowles did a great job on defense. I think Tom Brady's going to go into that program in Tampa, and everybody who is on that roster and in that building is going to be floored by the way he works and the way he prepares.
But Arians loves, you know, airing it out and whatever the biscuit thing he says. But
No biscuit.
Yeah, but Brady can't do that anymore.
Bruce Arians has been an offensive coordinator in the NFL or a head coach or a high-level coach for like 40 years. I mean, I think he was on Bear Bryant's staff at Alabama too. Like, he's been around the game, and he knows how to coach. He's not an idiot. He's not going to make Tom Brady if he makes Tom Brady do, you know, 500 seven-step drop passes, then Tom Brady's probably going to leave the field on a wheelchair. You know, he's going to be carted out of there. I refuse to believe that Bruce Arians is that stubborn with his offensive, like, schematic approach. Like, he's gonna change what he does, and he's going to mold it to Brady. That's what the best coaches in football do. And, you know, like, I think part of, you know, this is a really good comparison, but, you know, you guys know Tom Brady the last few years, with his endorsements, he's not taking X number of dollars from X company and just shilling out for him. You know, he did the Under Armour thing. He did the Uggs thing where he's a partner. He has equity, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's what he was looking for in a team when he left or when Bill Belichick kicked him out. And I think he's getting that in terms of Tampa. Like, Bruce Arians is going to sit down with him and they're going to collaboratively design an offense. And I think that's what he wanted. He wanted a partner in the process. And for as much as he and Bill Belichick are, you know, linked together throughout history, you know, Bill Belichick's still the coach, and Bill Belichick runs things a different way. And I think Arians is willing to be not his pal, but his partner. Jason Light, the same thing. Like, hey, look, Tom, we want to hear what you think about building out this roster. We want to hear your thoughts on, you know, what kind of guys we should get. We want to hear your thoughts on what kind of offense we should build. And if it goes differently, all bets are off the table. It's a 5-win team, and Brady's, you know, in a cast on the sideline. But if they build that offense to suit his strengths at the current point that he's at in his career, this team could put up a ton of points.
All right, who's the best quarterback in the AFC East?
Jared Stidham. Probably not, but I think he'll probably be better than people think. I will take Sam Darnold and Josh Allen's close. I'll take.
Oh, come on!
There it is.
They're close.
Thanks, Will.
They're close.
I'm a big Sam Darnold guy. I'll take Josh Allen for next year because.
Well, Buffalo, I mean, that's a team. You're going by the team. I'm saying
yeah,
who's the
okay. Yeah, but like
but this like, is a double question. But who is the better quarterback? Not who has the best weapons or the best. By the way, I like Joe Douglas in the way that he's making this team.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, let me flip it on you. Who's not coached by Adam Gase?
But Josh Allen is terrible. I mean, he's never going to be good.
That is a dangerous statement to make. I'm with the analytics. Like, I understand the analytics say that Josh Allen's not going to become an accurate quarterback. They have put an unbelievable complement of weapons around him.
And it'll be more frustrating when he can't get it done with all of those weapons.
But okay, so I'll ask you this, Will. Is Buffalo going to win the division?
Patriots. I'm probably going to pick the Patriots because it'll be like
– Really?
Nobody's going to pick the Patriots to win the division. They're going to be plus money to win the freaking AFC.
Is that true, Joe?
Right now, the Patriots are minus 110 to win the AFC East.
Wow!
I mean, come on! Like, by the time that the steam gets on Buffalo, it's going to flip. Buffalo, and I'm not making this comparison. Like, I don't think Buffalo will end up like the Browns last year, but it's going to be like the Browns are favored to win the division last year. And what's up, Joe? By the way, yeah. And it's you know, like they're going to be favored to win the division once the dust settles, in my opinion. Because people still think the Patriots are going to go out and sign Jameis Winston or Cam Newton or trade for Andy Dalton, and maybe they will. And I actually think that Bill Belichick is using some like crazy high level like 3D. And no surprise, but Bill Belichick's using some 3D chess here. He knows that because of the coronavirus situation, that he can take it and the quarterback the economics of the quarterback market. He doesn't have to sign one of those guys right now. Like, there's a decent chance we lose OTAs, right? Or OTAs get pushed back. And so he doesn't have to worry about – well, he doesn't have to worry about getting Jameis – he doesn't have to worry about overpaying for Jameis Winston in free agency or overpaying for Cam or Andy in a trade. He can wait it out, let these teams sweat, let these teams drop their quarterbacks. And then, you know, once Cam and Andy Dalton get on the open market, if he doesn't trade for them, then all of a sudden he can use that leverage against Jameis Winston's people or whatever he's trying to do. And maybe he's just saying, F it, I'm rolling with Jared Stidham. Either way, and if that happens, Buffalo will definitely be favored. Either way, I think the Patriots can win the division.
Will, who would you take out of all the guys you just named if you wanted a veteran quarterback?
Well, part of the problem, too, with the Corona thing is that nobody knows what Cam's deal is. Like,
right.
if everybody's healthy, I would take Cam Newton. You know, blindly right now, I would take Andy Dalton because I think he fits what Bill Belichick wants to do. Yes. I am intrigued by the idea that Jameis Winston could, you know, Bill Belichick could fix Jameis Winston. But
don't you think him though? Don't you think is the way he's so prone to mistakes? That seems so anti. Yeah, that's right. That seems so anti Belichick.
Got the LASIK procedure, but he can't fix the decision making.
Right.
No, but like I'm not buying this LASIK bit. Like, you could have gotten LASIK like 10 years ago.
Well, that's the thing is that I said this the other day. I'm like, so you go through this pre-draft process where they're asking, you know, questions about your great-grandparents, but they can't figure out if you can see? Like, that seems like a little ridiculous to me.
Also, didn't Bruce Arians is asked about it. He was like, they're like, do you think LASIK will fix? He's like, he's not farsighted. He's nearsighted, like, or whatever it is. Like, he can see me. Like, is it not the biggest red flag in the world that the former Heisman winning number one overall pick, who's 25 or 26 years old, right in that range, led the league in passing last year, and he can't get a sniff from a team in the NFL?
Right.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, that guy should be getting a $300 million contract.
Like, 6 years ago was the highest rated player in high school. Like, yeah. Legit,
right.
You know?
I mean, they dominated. I mean, that team that Florida State won the title with Jimbo, with Jameson as a freshman, was, I mean, they crushed people. And it was like, this guy's going to be the next number one pick. And he's got tons of off-field issues, I mean, at every level, that maybe that's the problem. But, like, it is a crazy red flag that Jameis Winston can't get a contract in 2020 with considering his pedigree.
All right, Dan, this will be my last question, so you no need to tell me how I'm effing up. But, Will, okay, how much does the coronavirus, like, really affect you know,
my life?
Decision making, or like, because I had an argument with Rich when he was in about, like, I'm like, Brady, this isn't going to stop Brady from doing his thing. I mean, this is, you know, a guy, a $60 million guy in a $1 billion industry, you know, multi-billion dollar industry. And sure enough, he signed. I understand if it's someone like, you know, a 1-year deal for like Brian Poole or something, that might take, have an effect. But how much does it really have an effect on teams signing players and actually, like, getting the paperwork?
Well, so here's the two best examples of why it does matter. And I think it did matter with Brady. Like, he had to go – they had to utilize their collective resources, a multi – you know, a $100 millionaire and a team that's worth, you know, owned by billionaires and worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And they had to sort of flex their muscles to get Brady a 2-day physical – in New York City. And I'm sure that whatever doctor gave Brady the physical was like, hey man, I've got some guys on ventilators I need to worry about, but I'll deal with it. Like, the two best examples of why coronavirus is really impacting, you know, the situation in the NFL. One, Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, this, again, a former number one overall pick who has been a dominant player, even if the sack numbers aren't there. He's great against a run. He is a dominant player when he's at his peak, but he has multiple years of injury history. You know, he has a microfracture surgery a few years back. Last year, he battled ankle, knee, and hip. There's like three things he battled last year, so don't quote me specifically on that. But he has a injury history. Teams can't get their doctors on him, and that's why there's no market for this guy. Again, I mean, he's just prime. He should be getting blown up with a big time offer from somebody.
So they can't get around that, like, they exactly. Even with all the – because I always just assume if you have enough money, you can get around anything. But right. But you're saying that you got
with the Panthers, they want to trade Cam. They can't get it. They can't get any offers because nobody wants to give up a pick and then have, you know, get Cam. Like, it's trading for Cam right now would be like buying a car on Craigslist.
Right.
Like, you're going to show up with some cash. You're going to take the car out of there, and it might not have four wheels. And
right.
but your cash is long gone. So that's the way that this is sort of affecting people.
All right. Well, Will, excellent. We missed you, obviously, because I just kept you on for a half hour, much to the consternation of our producer.
Look, coronavirus radio podcast, radio switches to podcast rules. You can do whatever you want. It's like Armageddon. It's like Mad Max. And thank you for keeping me away from my family for 22 minutes and 35 seconds.
All right, what's the podcast? Tell everyone how they can check it out.
Pick Six Podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. We had 15 shows last week during Free Agency. 15! That's a ton of podcasts. And if you like me and my cohorts, you can watch us tonight, every night this week, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports HQ. It's 24/7. It's free streaming sports coverage. And from 12 to 2 Eastern today, we're doing a mock draft special.
Are you just bored?
So
did
bored.
You, like, volunteer
you
for all
so,
of this?
You are so bored.
My God.
Mock drafts? Hell yeah. I might bet on what you guys actually
Will's
bet.
Calling him up saying, I can do another one. I can do another one if you want.
Yeah, Joe can do. No, they asked me to do a hit this morning. I was like, no, I have a show at 8 o'clock tonight. Like, stop it. I was like, I do Boston Radio. Joe can set odds on the mock draft special coming up at 12 to 2, and everybody bet on that. Find something to bet on.
All right, Will, if someone did a 10-minute Saved by the Bell recap of an episode, you would find that very entertaining, wouldn't you?
I would probably subscribe to a podcast that only did 10-minute recaps of Saved by the Bell episodes.
Thank you. There is a podcast I've come to find out called Go Bayside. But Will Brinson, thank you so much. I'm getting hate. And I don't like that. It's very hurtful. All right, take it easy. We'll be right back. I'm sorry, Dan.
Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And do I have a liner for you? Okay. My name is Fred Toucher. I'm the guy that gave you the Saved by the Bell recap that everyone loves so much. We're all in this together. 98.5, the Sports Hub and Beasley Media Group is committed to serving our community and helping local businesses. If you're a business owner facing difficulty, attend a free 30-minute webinar called Crisis Management for Local Businesses, presented by Beasley Media Group, full of actionable insights, timely advice, and relevant data. Critical data points to enable your business not to only endure these difficulties, but to emerge stronger when they're over. To register, go to 98.5thesportshub.com and search for Crisis Management for your local businesses. And thank you. As I told you in the beginning of the show, I know two small business owners that are going to be going out of business because they have lost 70% of their customers. 70%. So they cannot afford rent or utilities. So not a great time. Not a great time to be a business owner in this country. And if you read Billy Jaffe's Twitter, holy Moses.
Boy, oh boy. Did you get a chance to check out Francesa?
No, I didn't.
You need next break. Check out Francesca.
You read it to me.
Hang on a sec. Let me get it for you.
Also, okay. Fred, just real quick, I don't mean to jump in, but on that, so you say 70% down, especially for restaurants. Do you think that 30% was coming from, you know, strictly takeout and delivery, and that's still not enough to survive? That, you know, that just shows you how bad it's gotten, how quickly too it's gotten for most of those restaurants. Because I did takeout on Friday night, and they were jumping for joy, you know. Once you go in there to get the takeout and, you know, you write down, you leave a tip or whatever and stuff like that. But think about that 30% of people going out and doing takeout and delivery is still not going to save a lot of these places.
I mean, this isn't going to win me a Purple Heart or anything, but I mean, we are deliberately ordering from small businesses. I can't do anything about the service staff, but we're deliberately doing it every day because you know, I've lived in this neighborhood for 9.5 years. I have personal relationships with a lot of these people, and mm-hmm. I don't want to
see them go away. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a slippery slope. I'm glad I'm not in charge of what decisions to make because, I mean, at the end of this, I mean, your town could be a ghost town in terms of businesses because, like where my wife works, they have two stores and they've already shut one of them down. So, and now they can't let anyone in and they have to just do, it's like a toy store.
Curbside pickup type stuff.
So now they have to do curbside pickup.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who also owns a small business in Needham. He's resorting to the same thing.
So you call up, you order something and they'll bring it out to you.
Yes,
it's almost like over the phone, like, hey, I need a toy for my kid.
Right. I'll meet you out in front of the store in 20 minutes.
And you know what doesn't work? That.
Exactly. People calling up and asking suggestions over the phone as to what to buy their kid.
Right, yes. Rather than walking in and looking around.
Yes. It's hard to do.
Yeah. Right. If I don't know what you have, I mean, I want the Lego set that is with the barcode A17.
Sorry, we don't have that. Yeah. Try something else.
Right, exactly. So, I everyone's going to preach at you about social distancing and what have you, and that's great. But I also want to tell you that a lot of people are losing their businesses.
So, yeah, Francesa lost his mind basically on Friday and Saturday. Saturday were
he what with him, who is so in tune with the people.
Yeah.
What did he have
all
to
right.
say?
These first three are all from Friday. We have now been home for a full week and nothing has changed. This has to be a nationally mandated, around-the-clock effort. Stop the ridiculous patting yourselves on the back. Sickening! Exclamation point. And then it says, this is a national emergency. This has to be about petty politics. We need our leaders, no matter what their party, to lead and treat this with the urgency needed. We're a great country. We need to attack this thing with everything we have. And then another tweet. We've never been challenged this way. Never. This is an economic and cultural challenge of epic proportions. We have to shut this economy down. The clock is running. And finally, all of these tweets are like within a five-hour span. The president should ask us all to slow the spread for the next 17 days and announce America goes back to work Monday, April 6th. That includes sports. And then after that, April 6th with 7 exclamation points afterwards.
Well, that's unrealistic.
Well, everyone stay home, follow the rules so we can all go back to our lives in April.
Well, I've heard a best-case scenario. Well, the one good thing about being on the coast, apparently, is that the cases are going to peak much earlier than they are in the Midwest. So I'm looking at like May 1st mm-hmm. is when it starts to decline. And my kids are supposed to go back to school on April 6th, and I have no faith in that.
Mine too. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. That's 2 weeks from today. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So tough times. Tough times. I mean, it sucks, like, staying inside and everything. But if I think about it, my life is so boring anyway that I don't even know how much this changes it.
I was just going to say, the first week of this, I was like, okay, this is pretty much what I do anyway.
Yeah. Like, you can still drive a car.
Yeah.
Well, maybe tonight it'll be good because we're supposed to get some snow north and west of the city.
Oh, cool. All right. There you go.
Well, great. But don't go out very often.
It doesn't bother Fred at all. He's still broadcasting from
home. I know it doesn't. It's going to bother you, John, but it doesn't bother Fred.
By the way, broadcasting, here's what's fast. Like, my broadcasting from home, and I know you don't care, and Dan doesn't care, or anyone on the show doesn't care, to my knowledge. But my broadcasting from home helps everybody. Like, there's no downside in it. Like, if supplies are scarce, I am not using said supplies. Like, I don't have my board, which is, you know, going to be a hassle, and I don't have Vox Pro, but I think not coming in outweighs, like, you're not supposed to go in if you don't have to, right? I mean, we're not on TV.
No, Twitch, but not.
It's that
not
cheery
really.
Personality. Sorry, I can't even say it.
That you miss every morning?
Cheery personality that we all long for.
I mean, because Rich is adamant that I don't come in. But,
oh, is that right? The two of you have had a conversation? He's like, dude, never go in. That kind of thing?
No, John, you've talked to him. Yeah, he's really excited about people going into
Can
work.
Can you say that through the bubble wrap that he's wrapped in?
Once again, the man put a cardboard box in a separate room by itself for two full days
and
before he opened
alarm,
it.
John. He set an alarm.
Oh, that's right. He set an alarm, a 48-hour alarm, because the coronavirus only lives on cardboard for 2 days.
I am fascinated on what he's doing today. Like, he took the day off today, and I'm like, what could you possibly be doing?
And Dan and I were talking about this. I think there were a couple of coronavirus cases in Provincetown, and because of that, Nantucket has...
Well, the first one in Nantucket. So
the first one in Nantucket. So Nantucket has a stay-at-home slash shelter-in-place order. We're not sure
beginning
what
today
it
at
is.
5 o'clock.
Beginning at 5 o'clock this afternoon.
I don't even know what the difference means.
No, neither do I. And that's something Dan and I were talking about during the break. They're essentially the same thing, right?
Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll break, and when we come back, we'll do a stack. But what I want you guys to do is, I think it would be, and you can call in 617-779-0985. I understand this is not a novel concept, but how are you killing time in pop culture? Please. Tell me what you're doing. and watching or reading or looking on the internet. 617-779-0985. I know it's not the most original break, but I truly think this would help people. We'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack it up. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and I have the stack liner right here. Got it, Danny. Look at me. Stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale, no down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com. Let's go to Dave on line one.
Freddie, have you found Tiger King on Netflix?
I have. He was the guy who ran for... I guess in Florida he ran. Yeah, it's a disturbing. Like, there's no heroes in that film
at all.
At least in the first episode, because there's like, all right. So Tiger King is that guy. What's his name again? Joe Exotic. And so he has this like wild tiger situation where he's got them all locked up, and then he ends up going to jail. But the woman who's like the hero in it has got tigers locked up too. So who's the hero in this thing? I mean, the woman who's supposed to be the voice of reason has got all these tigers locked up. So I don't understand what the hell's going on.
Is that
on
the woman he tries to get killed, Fred, or no?
Yes.
It is. She has them too. Oh, nice.
Yes, because she's coming down on him. And but she's got a bunch of tigers locked up, too. Why do you have to lock up tigers? Just leave them alone.
Just piss them off.
Yeah, like, why do you need, like, tigers sitting around? Like let them go. Put them back where they belong.
Let's think about this. The tiger in a cage, you can't take it out, ever, right? I mean, there's no way you can take it out without it mauling you.
He lets kids, like, pet baby tigers, because baby tigers are essentially kittens.
Right.
So he lets them, like, pet them, but, like what do you need with a tiger? Like, no one needs to see it. Go put it in Africa. What do you need a tiger for? Like, would you...
No.
Like on your deathbed.
No.
Would you ever be like, if I only played with a tiger? Like,
damn it. I wish I had bought a tiger when I had the chance.
Or just like seen one. Like go on safari. What do you need so much with these animals? Leave them alone. Oh, I pet a baby tiger. Good. I mean, you could have died without petting the baby tiger.
Same thing. Swimming with sharks. You know, same thing.
Well, at least sharks are in the ocean.
No, I know, but you put yourself there where you really didn't need to.
No, but I understand that. But you're in their habitat at that point.
Yes,
you are invading their habitat.
You're bringing the tiger into your life. I got
right.
you. Yes,
Okay. You're putting a tiger in the cage so people can gawk at it. I don't need to see the tiger. Let the tiger go. Listen, I'm no hippie or member of PETA,
right?
But I'm flummoxed on why you would go to some crazy guy's stupid tiger farm and sit there gawking at tigers. Like, they shouldn't be there. Like, if you had one rational bone in your body, the tigers should not be there. Well, I got to pet a tiger. Well, sometimes you don't get to do things.
Yeah. Like you don't get the bang,
supermodel.
Every Playboy model that you want to bang.
It would cost you a lot of money to have a tiger on your property, and you can never take it out for fear that it would kill you.
Right.
So what's the bang for the buck there exactly?
And they ultimately do kill you.
Yes.
It's like Gatorland, which I still suggest people go to because they're alligators. I mean, it's not the same thing. But in Gatorland, they're all missing fingers and.
Yeah,
and everything's been chopped off, but yeah, that guy, I'm watching that thing, and then there's this woman who's supposed to be the hero, and I'm thinking to myself, she's got them all locked up too. What the hell is she doing?
It's
so
a whole
great?
Different class of individual, Fred. It's that secret society that we don't know about and really don't care to know about. You know what I'm saying?
No,
people that exist. You're like, yeah, you stay over there. There's no need.
I wouldn't go. I wouldn't go with my kids and go, hey, look, this guy's torturing animals.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, and believe me, you know me, I'm hardly the heart of gold or a hippie. But, I mean, there's a certain point where you have to say to yourself, this is highly immoral and completely unnecessary.
And very risky, yes.
And very, well, listen, I hope the guy gets slashed to death by the tiger. Yeah. I mean, I assume he's an ass man. I don't know by logic.
Sure. So we're full up. All three guys are here.
All right. Well,
fully
good.
Stocked. Zolak and Bertrand.
They should be working from home.
But they're not.
Headphones on?
No, not yet. They all just walked in the studio.
Ask Hardy why he's not working from home.
Hardy, Fred wants to talk to you. He wants to know why you're not working from home.
Because he has a whole setup.
All right, hold on. Bertrand would like a word. Hold on. He's going to put headphones on. You got headphones? All right. Give Bertrand a second. He's got an opinion or two. He's going to wag his finger at you.
Okay.
Figuratively, there's a lot of finger wagging that's about to happen. He's going to plug his headphones in, and he's going to give you the what for, Fred. Get ready.
Oh,
here it comes.
Prepared.
Here it
prepared.
Is. All right,
go
Mark,
ahead.
You were saying.
Do you think we decided that?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I was joking.
Oh, okay.
I was joking.
I thought you were chastising us.
Like, No.
That's not my call.
I was joking. I was joking around. Believe me, Mark, I don't think that you were, chomping at the bit to come into Dorchester every day.
Well, even if it is an 8-minute drive, or actually 5 now with no traffic,
yeah,
right?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But don't you think that if we, do you think I should come in?
No.
No, I completely agree
I'm not
with you.
I'm not telling you you're wrong. No.
Yeah. Wrong. No. Come on, Mark. I'm not. I was joking around. I know. Believe me. I know that you're on TV, and I know the whole situation.
I actually don't even think that's it. I really don't.
Really?
I mean, there's a solution for that, but yeah, that's all I'll say.
Okay.
It's not my call. That's Uh-oh. All. Oh, it's not my call. It's not Hardy's call. It's not Zoe's call. We don't
if
make that
I,
call.
If I come in. Rich is going to kill me. Like, Rich is going to put physical violence on me. He is that passionate about it.
Yep. He's sheltering in place as of 5 o'clock on Nantucket today.
Well, he's sheltering in place before that. He's wearing rubber gloves everywhere.
I saw a story over the weekend that the people down the Cape in the islands want the non-full-time residents to get the hell out.
I understand that.
Did you see that story?
Oh, yeah, I did.
All the
yeah.
town managers and stuff? Yeah. I'd be yeah. saying it.
Got nothing to do with it.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. I'd say, listen, boss, you know, for the people that own homes down there, you know how much I pay in taxes to you every yeah. year to yeah. not use the services around here? Oh, God.
Well, the problem is that those businesses are all going to go out of business. I mean, like, you got to have people, I don't know. I know people that are losing their businesses, and it's sad to see, but whatever. All right. You guys have a great show. And no, Mark, in any way, shape, or form, I swear to God, I was not putting any kind of wagging my finger at you. But
by the way,
you, guys,
you sound good, by the way. Oh,
he sounds thank
good.
You.
You do. I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. You
his
sound good.
Sounds great.
Your box, your equipment, your headset, it all sounds very good.
Yeah,
that's all I'm going to say. You sound great.
Kept the microphone appropriate length
way to
away
go,
from
Fred.
Your mouth.
Yeah. No, I apparently I huffed and puffed through the whole Jeff Howe thing. And I did my very popular Saved by the Bell bit, which was greeted with very, very positive stuff. But, all right, you guys enjoy yourselves, and everyone stay safe. And if you have a small business, I suggest people to go to your small business and to help that out. If I could be on a moral high ground for one moment. All right, guys, you have a good time. That'll do it for us. Rich is back tomorrow. Bye.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.